Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are in the book of Joshua this morning. And we're going to be in chapter 14, but I want to read a verse out of chapter 11 and then a verse out of chapter 13. And then as we teach and preach this morning, we'll be in chapter 14. But when you find the book of Joshua in chapter 11, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? There's something special anytime God's Word was read. In my devotional reading this morning, Ezra, the priest, after all the people had come back to Jerusalem, he stood on a wooden platform with the entire nation that had come back from Babylon, and he read the Word of God, and the people stood. Do you know how long that went on? 4 hours. He read from the law and the Word of God for 4 hours, and the people of God stood and gave God praise during that time. So surely we can stand for about 25 seconds. Amen? All right. Joshua chapter 11, look at verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. Now look at chapter 13 and verse 1. 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, "You are old, advanced in years." If God tells you you're an old man, you're an old man. "Advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Father, would you help us to rightly divide your truth today? God, speak to our hearts. Give us a word from heaven. We desperately need to hear from you, whether we know that or not. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. Now, when you read chapter 11 and verse 23, and then chapter 13 and verse 1, it seems like there's kind of a contradiction there. But I want to tell you, God does not contradict himself. I said, God does not contradict himself. And what you've got here, well, there's a key word in chapter 11, verse 23. It's the word inheritance. And then there's the key word in chapter 13, the word possession. Possession. There's a difference between inheriting something and possessing something. So, you know, it's possible to own a house and yet not occupy it as a home. Are y'all with me? And so the book of Joshua is an Old Testament illustration of the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Jesus won the victory for us on the cross. And that inheritance, that victory, can be possessed on a daily basis in the daily details of our lives. But it's got to be, that victory has to be applied to the daily details of life. And so that's what we've got in chapters 12 to the end of the book. The Israelites are now possessing the land that God has already given them. Are y'all with me so far? And when you read chapters 12 and 13, it tends to get a little tedious. But I want to tell you, if this morning they were handing out 10-acre plots along the Cumberland River, the saints at Second Mile Church would get real interested. I don't know, some of y'all might not get excited if Jesus walked in here. But If they were handing out plots of land along the Cumberland River, I mean, we'd get real excited. And that's what's going on here for the children of God. Joshua is giving out plots and parcels of land to the children of Israel in the promised land. And so in the midst of all this, as Joshua's administrating these plots and parcels of land, there's a young fella who steps up by the name of Caleb. Say Caleb with me. Caleb. Now, that name's really special to me, and I'll tell you why. When my mama was pregnant with me, she and my dad went to see East of Eden, that movie. Do any of y'all even know who James Dean is? But in that movie, James Dean's name was? Well, my daddy wanted to name his unborn baby boy Caleb, if it was a boy. You know, back then we had to kind of wait. But my mama just couldn't stomach Caleb, and so they agreed on Calvin. I should have just left all of that alone. So, anyways. So they settled on Cal. So Caleb has always been a very special character to me in the Bible. And now, you need to know something about Caleb. He was born in Egypt as a slave, as a Hebrew slave. And he was one of the 12 spies, you remember, that 40 years earlier Moses had sent in to the promised land to on a reconnaissance mission to kind of spy out the land, see how they could best take the Canaan land. And he brought back, along with Joshua, a favorable report. And Caleb and Joshua had remained friends over all of these years. Now, Caleb is now 85 years old, and he had led a faithful life. And this morning, I'm so excited. We are going to get and draw some principles from his life that I think will help all of us. How many of you need some help this morning? Let me tell you, if you don't need any help, you ain't going to get any help. But the Holy Ghost is here today, and he's able to give us all the help that we need. Look at your neighbor and say, help. All right. First of all, Caleb, God's sold out man, recalls some things. And he recalls, first of all, the reconnaissance mission that he'd been on 45 years ago. Look at verse 6. I'm in chapter 14 now. Look at verse 6 and 7. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart." Caleb begins to reminisce about the reconnaissance mission. Moses had sent 12 men. They were on the other side of the Jordan River, and they were about to go in. But first of all, Moses wanted to get a bird's eye view and to get a report. So he sent those 12 spies into Canaan land. Caleb and Joshua were two of those 12. And they came back with a minority report. And it was a favorable report from Caleb and Joshua. And their report was, the land is everything God said it was. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land with clusters of grapes. It's a great land, and our God is great. We can take it. Let's go forward. And so that was the minority report. But the majority report, the other 10 spies said, "Oh, the land's got giants in it. The land's filled with giants. There's obstacles everywhere. And all the cities have these huge fortified walls. Oh, there's no way we can take it. Why in the world did we ever leave Egypt?" You know, sometimes Caleb and Joshua had the confidence to not only believe but stand on the promises of God. Even when everybody else around them was saying, something negative, something no. And I want to tell you, it takes boldness and courage to stand when you're in the minority. And I want to ask you, Second Mile today, y'all do know this, we're in the minority now, right? Y'all understand that. That's just the deal. Do you have the courage to stand for God in a pagan society? Do you have the courage to stand up and say yes when everybody else is saying no? Do you have the courage to be who God's called you to be? Well, before we finish today, I hope we can get a resounding amen to that. So he begins to reminisce and he recalls his reconnaissance mission. And then verse 8, Caleb recalls his obedience. Look at verse 8. Nevertheless, that's always a good word usually in the Bible. Whenever you run across nevertheless, there's something big about to happen. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly, wholly, followed the Lord my God. After the testimony of the 10 spies, the people were scared to death. Their hearts had melted. They were shaking in their boots. But not Caleb. 6 times in this passage of Scripture, from verses 6 to verse 15, we hear this phrase, he wholly followed the Lord. And let me just unpack it a little bit further. The word follow here literally speaks of a hunter pursuing wild game. Come on, Bruce McGahey, say amen. A hunter pursuing wild game. And there's a real, real bit of truth there for each and every one of us. Caleb didn't just follow God, he pursued God with all of his heart. Hello! He didn't just play games with God, he followed after God. He pursued God with all of his heart. And brothers and sisters, it ought to be our heart, it ought to be our pursuit in going after God with every single one of us, Second Mile, want to be closer and draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord. 3 people said amen. Have mercy. I've got a birthday today. I'm 63 and I am sick and tired of this just playing church mess. I want to finish well. I want to be a Caleb. I want to be a sold out, surrendered man of God. How about you? Well, I want to tell you, what would happen if our entire church sold out and surrendered and pursued God with all of our heart like Caleb? You know what would happen? We'd take Clarksville for Christ. If everybody in here and everybody on our so-called church roll began to follow after God with our whole heart and we surrendered fully to Him, we would take this city for Jesus. That's what needs to happen. And so he begins to recall his obedience. And by the way, nobody can make that decision but you. Nobody can make that decision but you. No one can make that decision to follow after God but y'all. You've got to make the decision. I can't make it for you. Your daddy can't make it for you. Your kids can't make it for you. Y'all with me? You hear my heart today? Whew. Holy follow after God. And then Caleb recalls his inheritance. This is really good too. This is a fabulous passage of Scripture. I hope it burns in your heart when you leave here today. Verse 9. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's for a couple of months. Forever. Because you have done what? Wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses had made a special promise to Caleb years ago. 45 years ago to be exact. And Caleb had followed God so closely these past 45 years that he was going to inherit that promise and possess that promise and enter the land of promise. Now, there have been 2.5 million Israelites wandering around out in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And all of those men had died except for Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that would enter into the promised land from all those other men. Is that not amazing? God said, and you know why? Why did they wander in the wilderness? Because of the sin of unbelief. I want to tell you what, that'll mess a Christian up. That'll mess a believer up in a heartbeat. The sin of unbelief. But on the other hand, Caleb's about to possess prime pasture land. I thought I'd get an amen from the Barnetts. Prime pasture land in Canaan land. And I want to tell you, if you will sell out and you will surrender to God today, if you will begin to pursue God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart today, you know what God will do? He'll do some special things for you. He will. Now, does that mean if you do that, you're not going to have any more trouble? You may have more trouble, because you've upset the apple cart in hell. But I won't tell you what. You'll also be in for some divine favor and some divine blessing. He'll do some special things for you, just like He did for Caleb. So, secondly, we see Caleb requesting some things. He's been reviewing some things and he's been recalling some things, and now he begins to request some things. And in verses 10, 11, and 12, Caleb begins to talk about his life and the length of it. Look at verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." He begins to think about his life and the length of it. And did you catch those three? Did you catch those four words? "And the Lord has kept me alive." What a great testimony. He has kept me alive. Let me just tell you, let me just go on record and tell you, the only reason you're sitting here today is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason you're still alive is because of Him. If God took His hand off of you today, your heart would quit beating, your lungs would collapse, and you would expire. I know you didn't come here to hear that today, but that's just the blessing of God. And as long as you're here, He's got a plan and purpose for your life. I said, as long as He's here, as you're here, God has something for us to do. Whew, help us. Help us to understand this. Now, for 45 years, Caleb has been believing that promise that God had given to him. And when God made that promise to Caleb, that settled it for him. Done deal. And he just simply placed his faith in the promises of God. You don't have to go there. I've got it for you. Let me read Hebrews 10:36. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance." Anybody say amen?
Amen.
"So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Whoo! What a great, great word for us this morning. You see, sometimes you've got to endure until you actually possess the promise. But if God's made a promise, it's going to happen. And this is sometimes where I struggle, because most preachers and pastors that you run across, we're very impatient. But sometimes it takes patience to possess that promise. But if God's promised you something, it's good as gold. It's yours. It's going to happen. And so don't get impatient. Now, for 45 years, imagine this. Caleb had been living with some belly-aching, backslidden Baptists. 2.5 million of them out in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? Oh, I'm so tired of eating this manna. Where's the water? We don't ever have enough to drink. It's so hot out here in this desert. We'd be better off if we were back in Egypt. But not Caleb. He had his mind on Canaan land. Hello, church. He had a heavenly perspective, didn't he? He'd gotten a glimpse of the glory land. He was bound for the promised land. And you know what? I have figured out. It's taken me 63 years. But you can live in a dry, barren wilderness if you've got your eyes on the promised land. Oh, y'all didn't get it? You didn't get it? You can live in a dry, barren wilderness land if you've got your eyes on the promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to these verses. Woo, these are good too. It's just all good. Jesus, you can't beat him. Amen. Let's see here. I promise y'all it was good. Here it is. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Y'all, we're just strangers down here. We're just sojourners, foreigners. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a heavenly perspective? You know, I hear this mess all the time. You know, some people are so heavenly minded, they're not of any earthly good. I don't know anybody like that. Do you? But I know a lot of folks who are so earthly minded, they're not of any heavenly good. Amen? Now listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Isn't that great truth for us today, Second Mile? And so, you can live here in the wilderness if you've got your eyes on Jesus. Whew. And then Caleb talks about his life and the strength of it, not just the length of it, but the strength of it. Look at verse 11. As yet I am as strong. Now listen to this. How old is Caleb? How old?
85.
Me and my sisters just celebrated my mama's 85th birthday a couple of weeks ago. 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going in and coming out. This is an 85-year-old man speaking. I mean, he's basically saying, I'm ready for another battle right now. I'm ready. And you know, when God gives you a promise, He'll give you the faith to claim it and the power to possess it. Let me say it one more time. When God gives you a promise, He'll give you the faith to claim it. Yeah, that's mine. And He'll give you the power to possess that promise.
Amen.
He will. And notice there in verse 12. Now therefore, this is Caleb speaking, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim, that's the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Did you hear what Caleb said to Joshua? Joshua, I'm 85. And I think it's time for me to get a little R&R, to retire, and to take a little rest, and to kick up and lay back in a hammock. And just, I mean, I put my time in, and it's time now for me to rest and relax. Why don't you just give me a little cottage down by a quiet brook somewhere? Is that what he said? Give me a mountain! I'm ready to go to war. And you know who he's talking about going to war with? Not just one Goliath, but a bunch of them. Oh, for a man of faith like that. Whew. Now, the Anakim were truly, there were still some giants in the land. And how many of you know we still got some giants today? Enemies, problems, adversaries. But the giants were the ones responsible for scaring off the majority of the Israelites. And I just want to, I just want you to hear me. If you really want milk and honey, if you want clusters of grapes, if you want the blessings of God, sometimes you got to be willing to battle. Sometimes you got to be willing to go to war. I mean, when Caleb looked at the giants, they were nothing more than just having a piece of cake to eat. And he's looking for some milk to eat with, to drink with the cake. That's how he viewed those giants. They're no match for God. And you see, if you've got a heavenly perspective, if you're keeping your eyes on the prize, if you've got your eyes on Jesus and the promised land, brothers and sisters, who, if God be for us, who can be against us? Mercy me. And now, let me just say a word to my sweet senior adults. How many of y'all are my age and above? Stand up. Stand up. You're proud to be a senior. Come on, Calebs, y'all get up. Look here. Now, keep standing. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Oh, I can't stand up for about 2 seconds. Just keep standing. Keep standing. I want to say something to you. Don't y'all quit. Don't you give up. Your last days are going to be your best days. And you do more for God right now than you've ever done before. You've got the time. Now, I know your energy may have got up and gone. But you've got what you need to be great in the kingdom of God. You've got the resources. You've got the wherewithal, the wisdom. You've got everything you need to take that mountain for God. Don't y'all quit. Stay with the stuff. And then the rest of us need to get in behind them and act like we're Caleb also. God bless y'all. Hallelujah. Don't y'all let the enemies of fear and discouragement and negativity and insecurity, don't let that whip you. You know, when I get around, well, I can't stand to be around negative folks because they drag you down. They'll sap every bit of energy you got out of it. Get away from that mess. Amen? All right, let's wrap this up. Caleb received some things. Are y'all ready for this? Woo! Look at verse 13 and 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Joshua said, bless your heart, big guy. You go take that mountain for God. And Hebron is yours. God gave Hebron to Caleb. Why? Because he pursued God with all of his heart. Look at 15. I want y'all to see this. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the cities of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak, the giants, the Anakim. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak. These are giants, okay, from there. Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. You see, folks, when you're in partnership with God, you'll not only win the fight, you'll get to enjoy the fruit. If y'all were Pentecostal, y'all would have just jumped up and ran around the building. But we're not, so that's okay. If you're in partnership with God, you'll not only win the fight, you'll get to enjoy the fruit from the fight. Hallelujah. And so Caleb receives a place to settle, and he receives a peace that's satisfied. And this is just as good. Look at verse 15 in chapter 14, and we're done. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. And the land had rest from war. All God expects us to do is to be faithful. To be faithful. To stay with the stuff. Just stay surrendered to His will for your life. And God will give you rest. And I know in my heart of hearts, there's some Calebs here. I look across this room, and I see some Calebs here. Some of you are in your 80s. Some of you are in your 70s. Some of you are in your 30s. Oh, to have the mindset of Caleb. Sam Young, you can be a Caleb over at Northeast High School. You can be a great man of God out there and impact thousands of young people. You know the men who made a difference in my life? My dad, my pastors, and my coaches. We can be a house full of Calebs and leave here ready to take that mountain for God today. But it's got to be your choice. You know what? I'm praying that God will give me a mountain. And I'm praying that my mountain would be Clarksville, Tennessee. That God would give me Clarksville for Jesus. And I stand here to tell you, with God as my witness, I'm going to die climbing. And I want you to get on the mountain with me. And let's go take this city for Christ. Whatever it takes. Would you bow your head with me? It's time to do business with the Lord. What's God saying to you today? What is God saying to you today? How are you going to respond? I can't respond for you. I can only respond for me. You right now have an opportunity publicly to take your stand for God and to follow after Him with all of your heart. You've got that opportunity right now. Some of you are here and you're kind of halfway in and halfway out. God brought you here so that you'd step into the battle today and claim that mountain for God. I don't know what God's saying to all that. Some of you are here and you claim the name of Christ and you've never been baptized. Not as a sign or symbol of your salvation, but of your sanctification, of your willing obedience to follow Christ. Some of you are here and you need a church home. You can't take a mountain without a church family. You need a church home. But the decision is yours today. And by all means, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Christ, you simply need to pray a prayer like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from you. But I know Jesus died on a cross and took my place and paid for all my sins. And I believe, Father, that he rose again from the grave 3 days later. And I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus is alive today. And right now, through the eyes of faith, I'm calling on you to save me. Make me a Caleb. Make me a sold out, surrendered man, woman, boy, or girl of God. You prayed something like that today, we won't know about it. We want to get some stuff in your hands to get you started right. Want to get you in a tub and let you experience believer's baptism. You just say yes to God today. Take your stand for Christ today. Father, give us the boldness and the courage like you did Caleb and Joshua to stand for you no matter what. Help us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll be here at the front to receive you, to pray with you, to help you, whatever. You stand, sing, and you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.